Viewer discretion is advised.
All activities performed in-game and are fictitious.
Arcane magic is not to be used lightly and by amateurs. All magic performed in this show was performed by an expert.
Feel free to try this at home.
Well, I've been waiting up all night. When you gonna call? Cause I've been taking tons of whiskey and ice. Convincing myself I'm fine. So if you like it, come and get it. And darling, don't think twice. Cause if you do, you might regret it. Just taking your advice.
Alright, so let's just jump right back into where we were. I think that.
I'm going to ring before you shut off.
Right. He said, you guys win.
Yay, we saved the world.
Now, what's your exit strategy for setting up a stable Democratic government?
You said
a stable Democratic government.
I mean, you already abandoned the church that you caused an uprising at.
I mean, but to be fair, his Paymore has not been taken away any of Eric's divine powers at all. So
that's true.
Gotta be doing something right.
I mean, I'm a paladin, I'm not a priest, so can't lead a church. I can just fight for it.
Your mom can just fight for it.
The last time that we got together, you guys went to the Raven Queen's party. You guys showed up, had some appetizers, ran into some familiar faces, and you were heading out with the rest of this group onto a nice veranda terrace, upper balcony area. Hermes, the daughter, who's wearing this weird skeleton outfit, is changed into an outfit of a scarecrow. She's on some stilts. She jumps up onto the railing, and she says, "Welcome, my friends, to the slaughter of curious avians." And a bunch of servants, some of them are deformed with little hands or little legs. Maybe one of them's got like a pig head or a pig nose or something. And they trundle out, and between them they carry a big, big cage that they like roll out, and it's on wheels. Between a pair of the other ones is a large rack, and on the rack are a number of crossbows. And the queen walks over to the rack of crossbows, and she says, "I'm feeling particularly lucky. Anyone who can bring down more than me will receive a special prize." She releases one of the doors of the cages of the wheeled cage, and a bunch of very strange-looking birds fly out. They have two beaks that are multicolored and two sets of wings. Some strange-ass birds with weird rainbow beaks, and they look very vicious. And if you guys want to make some knowledge nature checks, you can recognize where or what these things are.
I'm not sure what a leaf is.
You have a dead bird.
I got a...
Oh, yeah,
outside.
My cat was hunting earlier.
I got a 17.
Okay.
I got a 20.
I'll have knowledge nature.
Oh.
Loser!
I mean, I just rolled it with no bonuses. I don't have to do that.
That's fine. Okay, yeah, with a 20, you recognize these strange birds as a variety from the jungles to the north, and they're particularly vicious and tend to attack smaller creatures and pets of people. They're named something like, Feralices. Feralodons. Feralodons.
Pterodactyls.
There we go. I like that one. They're pterodactyls.
Some mean-ass birds.
Yeah, some mean, ugly birds with rainbow beaks and multiple wings. The queen opens the fucking cage, and a set of 10 fly out, and she takes the crossbow. She shoots it a bunch of times. And she manages to take out 7 of them. 7 of the 10. And the other... Before they manage to like fly, like too far away, the bolts won't reach them. And everybody claps. Yeah, that was such a good job, Queen. Oh yeah, yeah. You know,
fanfare.
Yeah, she gives a deep bow, and she seems pretty full of herself. And they seem like these guys are pretty hard to hit, honestly.
I'll go.
Okay.
Is somebody else?
First up on my list is Maurice. All
right.
The very handsome half-orc, or orc man, whatever.
All right, let's see how this dude does.
He goes to pick a crossbow, and he's like, I'm not really feeling this one. And he like, trundles off. I keep saying trundle, that's like my word of the week. he walks away, and, you know, he spies you, Suzanne, or excuse me, he spies you, Aelin, hanging out. He, like, gets a glass of wine. He comes over to you, and he's like, oh, hello, my dear. I noticed that you're not interested in these strange birds either, And he starts making, like, really bad small talk with you.
Nah, I'm just going to ignore him.
So he, like, offers you this glass of wine and, like, he says some bad pickup line.
It's going to shoot him a really nasty look.
You come around here often, and you look at him, and he's like, ugh. And kind of walks away. He goes over to Tiara, the thief member of the Golden Geese.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she's listening to him, but she's clearly not really, like, giving him the go. This dude is clearly, like, a hound dog.
Looking for some ass.
Right.
A hound dog.
That's a
fucking throwback right there.
As this all happens, Fuzzy goes up, and, you know, you're next to him, Rob, and he's like, I'm first, and he, like, picks up a particularly nice-looking crossbow, and he misses every single shot that he takes. and he does a twirl with the crossbow at the end, and, like, you know, if there was a holster, it would be holstered kind of thing, but
he sucks.
Yeah, he completely fucks it up completely.
All right.
Yeah, you wanna give it a shot?
I'll give it a shot.
All right. The servants open the thing. The birds fly out.
Crossbow.
Yeah, you're gonna add for this challenge. You're gonna add your dexterity, your attack bonus, and +1 because it's a masterwork crossbow.
How many should I roll?
You're gonna take 10 shots.
Okay.
And you need to get better than 17.
Okay.
If you guys want to participate in this shooting activity, now would be a good time as well. You guys all get a turn. It's pretty fun.
Why not?
All right, I got 8 out of 10. 20 on the last one.
Getting all my d20s here. I got 6.
5 bits. 10. We get 10 rolls.
Probably should make it harder.
9 out of 10. All right.
I got 4.
So 9 out of 10.
Okay. You guys go sporadically. Probably first is Maurice, who wanders off, and then Fuzzy and Rob. And, Rob, you get 8 hits, and everybody claps. They're like, you know, everybody's kind of surprised that you are able to do so well and that you even managed to beat the Raven Queen. Make a charisma check at this moment as you beat the Raven Queen's score.
5.
The Raven Queen flashes a, like, clear sign of anger across her face and whispers something to Hermes, who is next to her, and who just kind of laughs and walks away. Rob, remove 1 authority point.
Oh, shit.
Wah, wah.
Bro.
As you are, like, you're, like, flexing and, like, yeah, I won! I'm the best! And you are clearly upsetting the Raven Queen at this moment. And then the rest of the group goes. Brachus does pretty bad, especially after he sees the queen get upset at you, Rob.
Yeah.
You see him, like, kind of, like, look completely the wrong way and just kind of, like, shoot his first round, and he misses half of his shots right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then he makes it the rest of them.
Pussy.
Hoff, the big fat dwarf who's got the peg leg or whatever, he comes up. He's like, oh, yeah, look at these cocks flying through the sky. Yeah, you know how long and hard I wanted to grab onto one of these wooden bows and shoot down some cocks. And he's really crude and rude. And the Raven Queen is also looking at him with some disdain. You see another messenger go off. After him, the Kill Raven goes. And he managed to score the same amount as the Raven Queen. And he handles it pretty graciously. He gives a little bow and doesn't really say anything. His buddy Sarah Din, who you met earlier, claps for him. He's like, yeah, my lord. Oh, yes. Great show. And then Shag Solomon, the shaggy-looking dude who's like, zoopity-doop-bop, man, this stuff is too intense for me. And you guys are outside, so he just starts smoking a bowl. He like lights up a J in the Raven Queen's. Obviously not very pleased with him, but he like he keeps his cool, you know, he's like, don't worry, dude, it'll be fine. He like goes to pass it to you and like he gets it back, passes it to Hermes and the Raven Queen. They smoke a little bit. They seem to chill out. You know? He's like, yeah, groovy. Oh yeah. And then the golden geese, of course, they all go, and Tiara does very well, to the point where she actually gets all but one. She scores 9. You see Kellic cast a spell on his crossbow, and when he takes his turn,
cheater!
All of his bolts just immediately sink down into the thing. And the Raven Queen, you see a little smirk on her face, and you see a smirk on Hermes's face, and you see Hermes go and deliver another message. Orin goes, and he's like, oh, yes, big muscles! And then he, like, starts shooting, but he's clearly got no dexterity. And the lizard men go, and, you know, Lockgar's trying to figure out how to pull the string back, and the fucking thing breaks. And, you know, and the other lizard man, Goblizar, starts yelling at him. Finally, it's Eric's turn, and you do really well. You shot down 9 of them. The Raven Queen is like, you know, well, this is an unexpected moment. There's a tie. I guess you guys are gonna have to go shoot again. And she releases 5 birds, and after she has you both set up, and whoever takes down the most is gonna win. You're just gonna roll off.
Let's do it. So am I rolling 5?
Roll 5.
Hit 2.
I only got 1. I rolled a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 7. and a 16. Like, it was, I did not do well. But she takes down 1, and you get 2 of them, Eric. Everybody claps. There's a bunch of applause.
Oh, yes! Good show!
As, you know, as you win this, Eric, make a charisma check.
Oh, shit,
bitch. Did I get hard to use my reroll?
It was last session. High or low, good for you.
High.
All right, I'm doing this in front of you. But... All right,
yeah.
You can do it. Reroll it.
Oh.
Did you reroll a 1 to a 20?
Nat 20.
Okay, so you
the fuck?
Jesus.
You managed to shoot down these 2 birds, and the rest of them begin to fly away, and the Raven Queen casts a series of magic missiles at them, and they all go down before they're able to escape. You, like, hold the crossbow above you, and, you know, like, flex, and the clouds part. A bunch of light shines down on you, and the Raven Queen clearly seems a little bit shocked at this. Not only was not expecting you to win the challenge, but this obvious show of divine power in the on her property in the Scarlet Spire, you are like
the divine beacon,
right? This beacon of light that is clearly disrupting the
hurting her eyes,
yeah,
as it were. She don't play that shit.
I know. I don't think that she's upset. I think that she's more surprised. It's one of those things where it's like there's not really supposed to be any kind of this divine power energy around here or in this area that she isn't like aware of or in control of. And you are clearly more powerful than she thought, than the rest of this party thought.
Over 9,000.
You start charging up.
Well, I'm basically an animal.
Yeah. So I forgot what the real word was. Oh, right. A singular servant carries out a small box, hands it to you, Eric, bows, and walks away. And you open the box, and inside of it is a small crystal. And as soon as you touch it and pick it up, you know that this is like a stone of protection. And you know exactly how to use it. You just like put it in front of your forehead, and you let go, and it starts spinning around your head, and you gain +1 health. That's a luck bonus. Will not affect any of your class things. Hey guys, it's me, Gabe, your host. I'm your GM, and I'm your sassy bitch. Better do what I want or I'm kicking your ass out. This week was brought to you by a bunch of haters. We got a bunch of bad reviews, but at least we got reviews. Suckers mean that you listened. Ha! This week's episode was brought to you by Buck Naked. Do you guys like listening to Buck Naked podcasts? Do you Buck Naked podcasts? Listen to Buck Naked Podcast. Listen to Buck Naked's podcast about Buck Naked Podcasting, where he's Buck Naked Podcasts. Freak well you, Buck Naked Podcast with him, Buck Naked. Shout out real quick to the Steadwells. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to use your music. And don't miss out on Hit Dice Podcast for the cleanest, crispest D&D experience. Thanks for listening. Where were we? You guys just got done shooting birds and pissing off the queen. It's a good time for hat by all.
Do I gain any authority points?
None for you.
Yes, actually, Eric, gain an authority point for quelling the wrath of the queen. After shooting the birds, you guys are led back upstairs and through a long, narrow garden to the north side of the Scarlet Spire. By this time, the sky is a little bit clouded, so it's a bit darker. And the garden that you guys are brought into is lit by numerously different colored torches that all have continuous flame cast upon them. These continual flame torches are cupped by skulls. And as you guys enter this garden, you guys can see a rack of skulls, a number of different ones. You recognize a troll skull, a goblin skull, a human skull, a lizardman skull. And you can see, you know, Lockgar and Gobblezar whisper, you know, something about, you know, how this is inappropriate.
This is not PC, man.
Yeah. So.
This is not that cool.
So, Leon, while this is going on, he's kind of like scouting out the different members of the party, and that's what he was doing in the last segment. He was like looking around and like talking to different guests just to try to figure out, you know, a little bit more about your quest to find Alucard. None of them seem to really know much as far as he was able to tell, but he does know that Richard is going to be showing up at the party at some point, and you guys might be able to question him about it. As you guys are walking up this stairwell towards this garden, Leon like kind of like brings you guys in, and he's like, I can't believe the Baron sent us in to do this. This is incredibly risky, and now that these people know our faces and our names, it just makes our presence in the city all that more lethal. Like, there's a good chance that we get poisoned. Watch your cups and don't, you know, try not to do anything that's going to get yourselves noticed any more than you already have. And he looks at you, Eric. he looks pretty unhappy. Like, you guys have mostly seen Leon as like a pretty cheery guy, and he's pretty upset, and he's like, I'm going to have words with the Baron about this. And you guys make your way into this garden. Once again, Hermes, the half-deformed daughter of the Raven Queen, stands up on one of the raised garden beds. And she's like, and now, my beautiful friends, we have come to the final game of our dinner. May I present to you wondrous joys of the bowling of devious heads. And goes over to the rack and picks out the only skull that's painted black. It's a human skull. She hands it to the Raven Queen, who does a spin and whips it across the garden. And it is pretty far away. She motions her hand as if to let, you know, as if to tell you to choose a skull and try to get and play bocce. You know, try to get as close as you can. Play bocce. It's a classic party game. The jack is about 50 feet away. And everybody's allowed to pick a different skull, and all of them are different, so you guys know which ones are yours. They're all pretty much the same as far as, like, your roll's gonna go, and this is just luck-based. Just roll a d20, and that's your number.
Okay.
Eric, you used your re-roll, and maybe twice. Suzanne, I think you used your flip last week.
I used my lucky coin on the charisma challenge.
Right. I distinctly remember you using your coin flip.
Yeah, I definitely used my coin flip.
Eric's loved by the gods, though. It's okay.
I don't think I win.
I got an 18. 12.
I got 3.
You guys do some bowling. And by bowling, I mean bocce.
I've always been bad at both.
Everybody takes their turn throwing different skulls. Fuzzy takes a small rabbit skull. Maurice uses a human skull. Hoff doesn't even bother throwing a skull. Seriously, he just kind of like, he like drop kicks it. And like it bounces off of a fucking wall. And then he like goes over and just keeps eating. And you can see that he, like, that the Raven Queen is clearly like, she's fed up with this dude at this point.
I want the troll skull.
Killraven does pretty well. He gets a 15. And Sarah Din does just slightly better than he does with a 16. And Eric, you go and you get a 12, and you do okay. And then Suzanne goes, and she throws her skull right on top of yours, and it knocks yours farther away. And Shag Solomon comes over to you. He's like, oh, man, where'd you get that hat? Did it come with a bowl of soup? And he throws his rock, and he doesn't even come close. He gets like a 5.
A bowl of soup.
The Golden Geese, however, they do pretty well. Oren gets an 18. Tiara, the thief, gets a 17. Kellick doesn't really try. He's not very strong. He like goes to throw the skull and doesn't even get there really.
Luther.
And then Rob, you throw yours and you like knock right in between Oren's and the Jack and like move his out of place.
Ooh.
And I like that. It's fine.
There we go.
And
already lost an authority point.
Once again, some mangled and mutilated, weird-looking servants come out with a small parcel, and they open it up, and it's a small vial. It says, Potion of Wisdom, +2, and this will permanently increase your wisdom stat by 2 points.
Alright. I almost feel like I don't trust this.
No, it's fine. Right. Though your suspicion is awesome and exactly what I'm going for, you know, you can just drink the potion. And everybody claps for you, except for the Golden Geese. These three look at you guys with a bit of malice, and, like, you see...
jealous bitches.
Yeah, Oren looks a little jealous, but he comes back to himself. And Tiara looks a little disappointed, but you can see that she, you know, was really hoping to win at least one of these. And you can see that Kellick has just a, like, livid... fucking sneer across his face, and he obviously is very unhappy that you guys won. During this bit of sport, you guys are fed cookies, gingerbread man cookies, but they're just the heads. They're pretty delicious. They're like a nice little treat, and everybody's given a nice little glass of milk to dump them in. And the milk is, of course, in a silver skulled goblet with ruby eyes.
I just don't drink the milk.
Malk.
Malk.
So after the last skull is thrown, you guys hear a gong announcing that dinner is served, and you guys are led into a large banquet hall. You guys are led into a large banquet hall. Oh my god. A massive cylindrical chamber rises 50 feet into the air to a dome of polished marble. The walls are decked with portraits of landscapes of great quality. A large number of these feature the Raven Queen doing heroic acts and saving people, wrestling great demons and giant elementals to the ground. A vast stained glass arch reveals the city beyond. Periodically, beyond the stained glass, you guys see like flickers of what look like angels inside the stained glass, and as you guys move across, it like looks like they're like, you know, angels on the inside of the glass. But as you start, like, looking at it more closely, you guys realize that the angels are actually on the other side of the glass, peering in and watching you guys as you eat dinner. And it's a series of blessed angels watching you. The Raven Queen bids you guys to take your seats, and you guys walk over to a section of the table which has your names written on the chairs on little note cards. There are a dazzling amount of cutlery, knives, forks, spoons, and plates in front of you. If you guys have knowledge nobility, you're fine, but if you don't, you're going to need to make a diplomacy or wisdom check to know what forks to use when.
Wait, what were the options?
Knowledge, nobility, or a wisdom check.
All right, I got an 18 on my...
Okay.
I got a
diplomacy check.
Okay, and Suzanne, Leon's sitting next to you, and he's going to be like, it's that pickle. And you're like, this fork? And you pick up the wrong one anyways. And you can see, and everybody, like, kind of looks at you, and, like, even Rob's holding up the right fork. And you're, and you just kind of, you're like, lose one authority point.
Fuck.
As Rob, everybody knows that you're a
I just got
uncultured swine. Country bumpkin elf. The only elf that doesn't know how to use cutlery, ever.
Bitch.
After a few moments, you guys are seated and you arrange your cutlery, and from a side room enters a person who you guys have seen before, an incredibly handsome man with blonde hair and blue eyes, who is is statuesque and almost appears unnaturally beautiful, especially for a man. He walks over to the queen and takes her hand, kisses it, and sits down next to her. Everybody is mostly silent while this happens. And Leon leans over to you and he's like, that's Richard. That's the guy we need to talk to. Just as Richard is sitting down, the queen stands up. My dear friends, she says. And on all of the pictures and paintings and murals and stained glass, all of the people who are depicted within them echo out her words as she says them. So it gives it a kind of harmonic, inhuman voice that's speaking from all around you. I bid you enjoy this feast and eat and drink your fill in my humble abode. And she claps her hands. An instant later, the great doors swing open and a trio of manticores enter. Their ghoulish heads flopping back and forth, almost like dogs, they seem to be completely tamed. The fire in their eyes have gone, their wings have been cruelly clipped, and the ferocious barbs on their tails have been surgically removed. Each of them carries a platter on its back. On these platters on their back are an arrangement of silver goblets that smell delicious, but look very disgusting, and some of the guests show clear signs of trepidation as they begin to be placed in front of them, only to reveal a number of wriggling worms. She's like, these are the delectable purple worm babies from the northern jungle. They enjoy terrorizing the tribes up there, but these peoples have learned a special way of cooking the tail section to neutralize the poisons. The bowls are, like, wriggling a little bit, but you notice that it's, like, they're not actually little individual worms. It's just sections of the worms, and, like, the sauce that they're in is, like, making them writhe. And it's pretty gross looking.
Doesn't sound like anything I want to eat.
Can I covertly cast detect poison?
Yeah, you could try. Make a stealth check or a sleight of hand check.
I was going to try to make a sleight of hand check to not actually eat it. Ooh, 19.
Yeah, you're totally able to cast it, Eric, and you do not detect any poison in yours, nor Rom's or Suzanne, but you do detect poison in Hoff's cup. And everybody's looking kind of nervously at this, like at these weird purple, this poisonous purple worm sauce.
Yeah.
Sauce cups, and nobody really wants to do it, and Leon's like, I guess it's up to me.
I'm going to detect evil on Hoff.
I think that you did that last time when you guys walked into this place. I think
yeah,
you probably would have. He's not good. He definitely has tendencies towards evil, for sure. All of these people have pretty much the same read, and they're all not evil per se, but everybody in this room who you were able to read earlier definitely showed evil tendencies, at least minorly. You know, it's one of those things where not everybody is going to be good or bad. Not everybody's, you know, you don't get a light or dark side read immediately, you know what I mean? So it's like kind of a varying shades of gray. These guys are all more towards the dark side than the light. They definitely have made more evil decisions than good. That's what got the majority of these people where they are. These people are all nobles in an evil city. Probably have done some bad shit. And with that, Leon takes a big old scoop of this purple worm, plops it in his mouth, scrunches his face a little bit, and he starts chewing it. He's like, it's good. You know, it's surprisingly delicious. He, like, takes another big old bite, and everybody else seems to be into it. You know, Hoff's like, oh, I ain't scared of nothing. And he just, like, starts chugging his down. Baracus is not being very good about his manners, and he's also just like shoveling it into his face. They and everybody really enjoys the meal. And when it's finished, a number of servants come and clear away the dishes. Hoff, he's like, "Oh man, I hope you got more food than that. I've never been full in my life." Oh, and he like slaps his stomach, you know. And you see Killraven. He's sitting next to him, and he's like wipes some of the spittle that got from Hoff on him, and he's like, "You've never been full in your life." And you guys are served the next course. After a few minutes, wine glasses are refilled. The manicores return, but this time they carry a very sweet-smelling, strange-looking dish. It almost looks like a number of pies, but there's a bunch of birds sticking out of them. And as they are placed on the table, these birds begin flapping, and feathers start going everywhere, and the birds take off, and they fly around the room, and everybody's like kind of like freaked out, and the Raven Queen's laughing, and the birds disappear and rain down confetti onto the table and all of you, and it also disappears, and you guys are served these strange blackbird pies. They smell kind of sweet, and they're served with this very potent alcohol that's like made from blueberries and is very strong. And you guys, you know, drink a little bit of the stuff, and you take a bite of it, and it's horrendous. It is one of the worst things that you guys have ever eaten in your lives. Do you, like, are you just like, that and, like, spit it out?
All right, y'all, I'm going to roll fight and handle that shit.
Roll fortitude save this.
Can I prestidigitate it, like,
away?
All right, I got a 23 on my sleight of hand check.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're able to like cough and you spit into a napkin. And you're like,
Oh, yes, that's good.
Like, am I rolling like a bluff check or
yes,
like...
a charisma check? Yes.
Okay.
Can
I bluff?
Save this.
Yeah, you're just gonna eat it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got a 24 on my bluff.
Okay. Yeah, Suzanne, you're able to like just like smush it around in your plate so that like and pile it up on the sides and like. Take little, like, forkfuls that are not just the sauce. And you're like, yes. Ooh. And Eric, you're like, this is fine. You take a big old bite of it, you put it in your mouth, and munch down, and it's horrendous. You're like, gagging, and you're like, I could stomach anything for Baylor. And you, like, try to manage it down, and you just can't. You just, like, spit it up onto your plate real quick. Make a sleight of hand check to try to spit it out so nobody sees... Four. You miss your plate and it just like I spit it on the table next to you. There's like this big fucking stain.
I wipe it up on my napkin.
But you're not the only person to be revolted by this pie. Leon is also completely unable to hide his disgust, and he does like he puts it in his mouth and just like the fork goes back down the river. He's like, and Baracus
mouth immediately takes it back out.
Baracus is, you know, he takes a bite and he's like, takes another bite. He's no. And you see Hoff, he's just like housing it. He loves it. And
fucking weirdo.
You know, Shag Solomon, he doesn't even try. He just pushes it away and fucking lights up another J in the fucking thing. He's like, cleanse the palate, you know. The lizard men are also fairly revolted. They have another bite, and they're able to, like, choke it down and be like, yes. But their bluff checks aren't very good. They make the fortitude save, but they don't make the bluff check. And the queen is, you know, she's looking around expectantly as everybody eats her, you know, blackbird pie. And people are kind of all revolted by it, and she's like, you know, she's like, what the fuck, when you spit onto the table, and she, like, she takes a bite of it, and she immediately gags, and claps her hands, and you see a couple of servants take the pies away, and she, like, whispers to them, and they put them all onto one tray, and take them out on the balcony, and just throw them off the balcony, without a moment's hesitation. These servants bring out very fine-looking steaks. And these are some of the like the nicest steaks that you guys have ever seen. Like, perfectly, you know, marbled. They look so good, and they taste even better. The only thing that's strange about them is they have a very weird, a slightly greenish color to them. And you guys are all enjoying them. Hermes jumps up, and she's like, sorry for the lack of introduction. I hope that you are all enjoying your dragon steaks. Feast of Kings. And they bring on the next course, which is the cake. And it's a very large, multi-story marzipan tower that is modeled after the Scarlet Spire. It's got multiple levels and even has detailed balconies, and the peak is even shaped just like it's supposed to be, except on top of it stands the Raven Queen, made out of candy, surrounded by candy feathers. And the servants hoist this magnificent, delicious piece up onto the table, and as they do, the Queen's figurine starts to wobble. And as it's lowered and set down, a large rent in the side of the cake appears, and the Queen's model tumbles down and lands in the lap of Suzanne. Everybody is kind of silent, and everybody's a bit tense for a moment, as the ironic symbolism is not lost to any of the guests. And you can see the Raven Queen look at you, Aelin. And she doesn't look at you with hate or malice. It's more like a look of surprise and longing and fear more than anything else. And with that, Shag Solomon stands up. He's like, well, this cake ain't made of iron and stone, baby. It's made of frosting and fluff, and I plan to enjoy it. He goes over and picks up the Raven Queen, puts her back up on top, and grabs a big old handful of cake, and he starts eating it. Some of the guests laugh at his, you know, silliness, and the Raven Queen chuckles a little bit. As he picks up a piece of cake and tells this weird joke, he begins telling you guys a story about apples falling on his head and him thinking that, you know, the world is round and, you know, that there's weird things like that. And everybody kind of laughs at that weird. And Baracus comes up and he's like, oh, I got a good story for you. One time, I was riding with my boys, and we got real good and drunk after we killed this dragon, and I bet them that I could jump all the way over him. And then I did, but the dragon wasn't dead, and he, like, snapped at my legs. He, like, burnt my pants off, and it was all a good time was had. And everybody's kind of like, that's terrible. Killraven starts to recount one of his tales of slaying vampires and how he went into a nest of them and slayed half of them with his right hand. The sling, because it was broken.
I once cleared out an entire cave of ghouls all by myself.
Hoth's like, oh, that's nothing, Featherhead. I once built an entire army for the king out of only wood. And Baracus is like, that's bullshit. There's no way you could have done that. One time, though, listen to this. One time, I was on a flying ship with my buddy, and we got hit by a fucking meteorite and crash landed on the moon. I had to fight a whole bunch of liches there, but we ended up figuring our way back using ropes and such.
My gang and I were trying to have a drinking contest with a rival gang, and they refused to participate. So we went to the house of their leader and set his yard on fire and destroyed all of his clothing and flooded the house. It was great fun.
Oh. Baracus is like, I once got into a drinking competition. That's right. Ended up drinking an entire lake. And you see everybody kind of like look at him sideways.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And Shag Solomon's like, I don't even know what that guy's spoken. And as the cake is finished being served, and you guys are having this bit of boasting, and, you know, talking about all of your, you know, great triumphs throughout the past, a bunch of servants carrying musical instruments, banjos and bongos and tambourines and shit, they make a little stage and they start playing, and you guys are in a bit of dancing. Some of the other guests are going to dance, and you guys are kind of over eating the hors d'oeuvres and the cakes and stuff, and Leon, he gets approached by Fuzzy, and Fuzzy, you know, he starts talking to him about the Baron, and Leon looks a little, you know, upset at first, and then he's, you know, and then he starts, like, kind of questioning him for info. And, you know, and Flizzy's like, oh, yeah, I just saw the Baron yesterday. Came by my shop and bought two scrolls of teleport. I'm surprised you haven't seen him. He's been in town for the last 2-3 days. While this is going on, Suzanne, the Raven Queen, actually comes up to you, and she, you know, holds out her hand, and she's like, would you like to dance?
Sure.
And you, so you two go out onto the dance floor. Well,
I feel like I can't say no to the Raven Queen. I want to die.
And you guys go out onto the dance floor. You guys are out there for a little bit. You do, you know, you're doing some faster dancing, and then it goes to a slower dance. You guys have a moment to talk, and she's like, you know, she starts asking you questions. You know, who are you? Like, I know who, you know, who you are, but where are you from?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, how did you start working for the Baron?
Of adventurers to help him out with some stuff.
Well, who are your friends? Tell me about your companions a little bit.
They're both pretty much bumbling idiots, so
she,
I don't know what
yeah,
else you
she,
want to know.
She thinks that's she thinks that's pretty hilarious. She keeps asking you, like, you know, she keeps asking you little personal questions and things, you know, favorite color and stuff, and some of your answers seem to, like, you know, get a bit of a response out of her. But mostly it's all harmless stuff, you know, and you have, like, a nice little dance, and at the end she thanks you. She goes back behind into a door behind the stage and disappears. But while that's happening, Rob and Eric, you guys are kind of listening in on Leon's kind of conversation as you guys see Hoff. And he's kind of like holding his stomach. And he's like,
oh, it's jewelry, man.
And,
I thought you couldn't get full.
And you guys are kind of like joking about this. And Tiara, the thief of the Golden Geese, comes over to you guys. And she's like, you know, she's got a glass of, you know, some hard whiskey or something. She hands it to you, Rob. And she's like, that was a really close shot with that bocce ball. It's really awesome to see you guys. Some, you know, I'm sorry that the rest of my group is, you know, kind of weird, and you know, especially Kellic, mostly only Kellic. But me and Oren, we really like you guys. You know, again, let me know if you guys want to come and, you know, maybe come to the arena and train with us sometimes. If you ever want to, you know, give it a shot. We go there almost every other day, so just let us know. And she's like, you know, do you want to, like, go and dance maybe?
Yeah, sure.
You go off and you have a little dancer, Tiara.
Should I roll the dance?
Yeah, probably. I should probably
roll
make
the
dance. Alright.
Did you get a natural 20?
No, I got a natural 1.
Strikes out. Steps on her feet.
Yeah, you step on her feet and, you know, are like, say some crude shit at the wrong moment. And she's just like, alright. Well, it was nice talking to you. If you wanna train maybe sometime. And she walks away. That's hilarious. Eric. Leon is kinda like motioning to you to, like, go and talk to Richard, who is, like, you know, idly talking to some of the other guests, particularly Killraven and the Lizardman.
Hop on over. What's up, Richard?
Hello, it's nice to finally meet you. You're Claudio, right?
Claudio the Righteous, that is.
Right, I've heard a bunch about you and your little group. You guys are really making a name for yourselves. Excuse me, and he like says his farewells to the other partygoers, and you guys kind of go off to a corner, and he's like, I've heard from some of my people who have talked to the Baron. I've heard about your need, this gnome, Balakard. I think I know where he is. I believe that he's in the Champions District in this one house just next to the arena. I would find it a personal favor if you could go and check it out for me.
Is he doing all right?
Yes, I think that he's in trouble, and I'm afraid that right now that something is going on inside of the government. Some people in this party, he, like, looks over at the Lizardmen. We need to make sure that the city is safe, but I can't send the Watchers or any of my people directly after them because it will draw too much suspicion. If you guys have time, and you need my help, please just let me know. And he gives you a little piece of paper, and he's like, I believe this is the address that you need to go to.
I think we got it.
Great. I'm sure that you all seem like a bunch of very capable You guys seem like a very capable group. I'm sure that you can handle it. Just try to keep it as quiet as possible. We don't know who is involved in this. Dare I say it? Conspiracy. And you got so and you guys finish up your your evening, you have another glass of wine or three before you leave. I don't know how you guys are partying.
Chug.
That's just right. And you guys head home. Leon's with you, he's and he's in the cart with you guys as you head home this time. So you guys get to the Baron's estate, and Leon kind of busts in once he knows that the Baron's there, because you guys are let in by Jaren, who's like, "Oh, the Baron's arrived home," and Leon's like, "I know," and he fucking bashes the door in.
Leon.
And when the Baron sees you guys, he's like, "Oh, my friends, it's good to see you. I've got some great news. We've made the sale. Remember those statues from earlier that you guys had me collect? I've managed to sell them for," and Leon cuts him off. He's like, "What the hell's wrong with you, Baron?" And the Baron's like, what do you mean? Selling these statues is what we agreed. You know what I mean. Why the hell did you send us to the party instead of going yourself? What do you mean? What do you think I should have done? Do you think, are you mad that I sent you to waste your time with my employees?" And Leon's like, waste my time? These people are our friends. This isn't a matter of pride, stupid." And the Baron's like, I would have gone myself if I could have." And Leon cuts him off short. And he's like, "No, I don't know that. Just like I don't know my father. All I know is, once again, your greed, Baron, put our lives at risk. You put other people's lives at risk before your own selfish ones." And he goes and slams the door. The Baron is like, looks kind of hurt. "Oh, sorry you had to see that. Good news is I managed to sell those statues, and you guys have 100,000 gold pieces coming your way. Should be here by the end of the week. It's a good payday. What did you find out at the party?" And you give him you fill him in on all the things that have happened since you last saw him, including undead priest and fighting with Octo Spearman, following the trail of the abandoned house, discovering the strange well after following the secret history of Greyhawk, eventually making your way to the party and finding out the location of Balakard's shop. That's really something. I can only ask you to continue our investigation and go find a Balakard. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I'm a Baron. I sell stuff. And I act really weird. Perhaps you can't. And I'm guessing that you guys probably rest for the evening in the Baron's Manor and then wake up.
I will store cure serious wounds in my earrings before the end of the day.
Yeah, real quick, since you guys leveled up after the party, why don't you guys just go real quick run through any of your new abilities and powers that you might have?
Great cleave and remove disease once a week.
Praise Jesus.
Level an assassin.
Praise him.
So I got another sneak attack die. I got death attack.
And we're a rat assassin.
Yep. Nice. As my sixth level feat, I took rapid shot.
Okay.
I now have third level spells and took fireball. And then I took spell penetration as my
duty. Also partly two attacks.
I think that was like all I
Claudio's buff now.
Sorry.
So buff.
So you guys probably rest that evening, and then wake up in the morning rejuvenated. You guys don't feel particularly sick or anything, like you saw Hoff being.
No food poisoning.
Right. So you guys, I'm just gonna assume that you make your way towards Balakard's shop in the Champions District.
Well, we gotta meet up with them people.
Right.
The Golden Eagles.
Golden Geese. Right, so since you guys can't, because you guys aren't allowed into the Champions District.
Gotta make some buds.
So you guys rendezvous with them just outside the Champions District, and as you guys approach them through the streets, you guys have your hoods up or whatever, trying to, maintain, try to be inconspicuous as possible.
I got my owlbear helmet in my backpack.
Right. The owlbear. And the owlbear.
Just actively hiding away.
you guys see the golden geese surrounded by a group of young people and halflings and gnomes, and they're all, like, cheering for them, and Orin signing autographs and flexing, and, you know.
I give him a quick flex and a wink.
When they see you, Tiara comes over to you, you know, you guys got here. We've just been waiting for a few minutes. Come on. And you guys head into the Champions District. The guards, you know, wave you by. And you head towards the arena. And you guys, it is a massive structure, several stories tall, made of magically formed concrete brick. And you guys head into the lower section of it, which is in towards, like, this gymnasium area where there's, like, a boxing ring and there's weightlifting equipment, you know, exercising machines and stuff. You start working out with the golden geese, and you see...
Oh, yeah.
You see a couple of other people in there. You see, like, a pair of female dwarves who are deadlifting in the back, and, you know, one of them lifts up, you know, 400 kilograms. Oh! There's no reason to be alive! You can't do deadlift! And, you know, the fucking thing falls on the ground and cracks the concrete.
Shit.
And you guys work out for a little bit. You guys find an opportunity to, like, sneak away. Maybe you guys are like, oh, we're gonna go get a fucking... have a water break outside. And you're gonna go have a cigarette. I don't know. Do you like, come out and tell the golden geese that you guys are trying to sneak away and ask them to, like, cover for you?
Are we just gonna explore? Or go over to Balakard?
I mean, you have a pretty good idea of which way to go once you're, you know, free. You know, do you guys just, like...
Peace.
And you guys sneak into the Champions District and not tell these people who you're working out with? Or do you, like, tell them what you're doing?
Did the golden geese seem cool?
I think you gotta make that decision for yourself.
I don't think they're chill. That one guy doesn't like us at all.
You probably wouldn't want them knowing we're trying to help out outside people.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are gonna try to sneak off away from them.
Are there groupies?
Yes.
There
you guys
groupies.
Could totally wait. You like, if you want to wait until some groupies come up and, like,
yeah,
distract them. All right. I like that. Make some sneak checks, or possibly make a bluff check to get these groupies to go over there.
Okay. All right. If it's a bluff
check,
I got 27.
I just want to make a sneak check. I'm not trying to.
Okay. Yeah.
Convince anybody.
Yeah. Rob.
Half or wear red ass.
Kind of diplomacy.
Yeah, that's probably a better one, diplomacy.
25.
Okay, so you guys go over to some groupies, and
yo,
you're like...
check it out, it's Orin!
Yeah, look at these
guys,
look at them!
Oh, look at them!
I got a 29 on my sneak check.
And
oh my god, he's so strong!
Rob, he jumps up into the ceiling, into the drop ceiling, and is, like, crawling through vents and shit. You guys do the classic, like, pull up a big sign anime style pointing to the golden geese and you get run over by a bunch of fangirls as they go over, and the golden geese are, like, trying to come and get you with it, but they can't because they're surrounded by all these people who are, like, in their eyes shaking.
Gonna make a beeline for the door, duck down with cover of crowd.
Yes, same.
You guys make it out of the arena's gymnasium. And start making your way through the streets. And this section of the city seems a lot more well-kept. It seems like there's a lot more work put into making sure that it's prepped for the upcoming Champions Bell. You guys make your way down some of the shadier alleys, and you don't even see the, you know, occasional leg or arm sticking out, which would indicate, you know, the junkie. And you guys find your way to what seems like almost the exact opposite side of the arena. And it's, like, clouded in shadow, the shadowy part of the arena, and with these buildings around it. It's, like, you know, the alleyway is dark. And the building itself looks like it's pretty haphazardly built by a carpenter who is none too skilled with a saw, but some skilled at drinking. And this crooked house, which stands before you, has a light shining on and quite a bit of noise coming from inside of it. You hear what sounds like a gnome frantically throwing things around. Why don't you make some perception checks?
10.
Did you roll 2?
Yeah.
19.
26.
Okay, so you guys did pretty good. Eric, you're whistling as you guys go down this alley, but Aelin's like, shut up, shut up, you know, like, as you get close.
This is why I told the queen you are a bunch of bumbling idiots.
And
wow.
Rob's on like the ceiling or on a rooftop pretending to be fucking Octo Spearman for all copyright infringement purposes. You know, he jumps down and you guys are able to get a good look into this window, and you see a very, very silly looking gnome with a green mustache and what's left of his hair, because all he has is like a skullet. Like bald, he's a bald.
Skullet.
He's bald on the top, but he's got long hair on the rest that's like there. And he's frantically like throwing things into boxes, and he's looking and he's like got his like stuff ready to go. He looks like he's like packing up to leave.
And this is the Balakar chat?
Yes. It is unnamed and unmarked, with no sign. It's the really ugly crooked ass house. You think this is the place?
Is there a side door?
Yeah, you can probably look around and find a side door. You gonna try to sneak in on this guy?
I'm gonna knock on the side door.
What are you two gonna do while this is happening? Are you just gonna watch as Eric knocks on the side door?
I'm gonna, like, hide in the shadows.
Okay.
I don't want this guy to see me right away.
You hide in the shadow? Rob?
Same.
Alright, you guys are hiding behind a box as Eric walks up to the side door of this house. He knocks. And after a few moments, like, quickly hear somebody, the person inside, presumably Balakar, stop packing up boxes, slowly walks over to the door, and a slot about at your crotch height, Eric, opens up, and a pair of eyes look out, and they see your crotch, and they look up at you. Who is it? What do you want?
I get down on one knee.
Get on
hey,
knees, bitch.
We're just, We're just checking to see if you're okay.
Did somebody say something from behind that box? what?
we're asked to see if you're alright by the Baron.
Oh, the Baron? Who? The Baron who? Which Baron?
Baron von Sticky Hands.
I'm perfectly alright, thank you. And he closes the thing shut.
Well, he's alright.
I don't know, that seems mighty suspicious.
You sure you don't need any help?
He yells something, you can hear him yell out of the house, something like, you're the ones who need help! I'd get out of the city if I was you!
Why?
He comes back over the door, and he opens back up the shutter, and he looks at you. If we're going to shout at these things, you might as well come in. Come on! And he opens the door. Do you go in, Eric?
Is it a halfling-sized door?
No, it's a full, he opened the full person size version of it after he opens, like, a dozen locks, and he's like, you know, he's got a padlock, and a key lock, and a chain lock, and a deadbolt, all the stuff.
All them locks.
Yep.
All right, yeah, I'll go in. I detect evil.
The door, as soon as you go in, and you are like,
detect evil,
with your paladin senses, he closes the door right behind him. You don't detect any evil from this guy. Some of the stuff in his shop, there, in particular, some of the alchemical-looking flasks and vials on the far side of the room, which look kind of like a fucking meth lab, except it's got magical symbols and arcane burners, weird...
Continuous Bunsen burner.
Right. And, the, you know, and all kinds of weird makeshift steampunk, you know, contraptions therein. And it looks like he's almost distilling some kind of... green slime.
This guy.
The rest of his shop is completely packed up, and it looks like the alchemy lab that he has set up in the back is mostly taken apart. But it is pretty easy because you've seen, you know, this the effect of this drug in the city and what it looks like. You're able to recognize what this is. He goes immediately back to packing his things. You need to get out of this city as fast as you can. The rats are coming. We all need to leave this sinking ship.
The rats are coming.
You said that the Baron sent you. How do I know that you're not working with them?
I'm going to make a diplomacy.
How do I know that you're not working with our enemies?
I'm just looking out for the best of all mankind here in the city. Got a 17 on my diplomacy.
Okay, so what do you say to him?
Nah, that's what I just said.
I'm just trying to look out for the best of the city.
I'm trying to help everybody out, man.
Hippie bullshit.
Yeah, some hippie bullshit.
Can I send my hamster in?
Yeah, you could send your hamster in.
Okay. I'm going to send Butterball in to just kind of, like, look around and listen in.
Balakard's like, I don't know if exactly if I can trust you, but I got a visit a few days ago from an Octo Spearman. He was looking for the rats, the were-rats. Somehow he knew their connection to me. I've been trying to make a version of this drug, this green slime, one that doesn't have bad properties to it. Their leader came to me and he asked me to do this. He gave me supplies, he gave me all of the grains and all of the materials that I could ever use. I didn't question where they came from, but I found out that they were from Baron von Stickyhands' glands. There wasn't enough, though, and it wasn't working properly. I couldn't get it right. The drug, it was supposed to keep people from turning, but it wasn't working. And Rattalar, the leader of the were-rats, we've run out of time. He's run out of damn time. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in the government. He knows about the Raven Queen. We all have to get out of here. He's pulling the trigger. Somehow he's planning to destroy the city. I don't know what's going on, but I told Octo Spearman about the location of their base. He quick, like, goes over and scribbles down, like, a fucking sewer entrance. It's like a manhole cover. And it's like the manhole cover on 5th Street at, you know, the corner of fucking thing. And then you go down, and then you go through the north passage and then to the left, down a flight of stairs, through a hole in the wall, and then around a corner, and you should be there. And he writes all this down for you. And he's like, I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but I know they're planning on destroying this whole city. We all need to get out of here. If you were smart, you leave now. After he left here, Octo ran right into a were-rat trap. If you are serious about helping the city, find Octo Spearman. He, like, finishes throwing some shit in a bag, and fucking, he goes over to his door. He, like, take whatever you want, I don't care, it'll all be gone soon. He locks the door behind him. But you do have the location of this were-rat case. And at least the inkling that they are planning on destroying this city. So,